Did perimenopause or menopause catch you off guard? Weird symptoms appearing from nowhere, wondering who is this person who's inhabiting your body? And most of all, having no one to talk to about it? It happened to me too. And with all the chaos that it was causing me, I knew I had to figure it out. I dug in, reading often outdated books and searching obscure references on the internet. I learned how our shifting reproductive hormones mess with every cell in our bodies. And as I realized how complete this hormonal disruption was, I became determined to help other women understand and control their own menopause journey. Because menopause matters. And here, we talk about all things menopause. I'm your host, Jean Andrus, and this is Menopause Matters, the podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Jean Andrus, the menopause guru, and this is Menopause Matters, where we talk all things menopause. And today, I'm especially delighted to bring it on my friend, Anita Keene, who is here to talk about human design. If you've been looking around the web or listening to lots and lots of different podcasts and looking around at different topics, human design is probably one of the hotter topics around right now. And I wanted to bring you somebody who could explain to us what human design is, why we want to pay attention to it, and then to go into a topic that I think is especially important as we go through midlife, which is the topic of returns or planetary returns, which started out in astrology, is incorporated in human design. And so I'm super excited to have Anita. Let me introduce to you Anita Keene, a holistic coach of 15 years who's helped thousands of corporate employees manage stress so they can thrive in a high-pressure environment. Before that, she moved from a busy hospital career to her own holistic business. And no one told you that the corporate work habits would not support her. And what they did support was a fast track to burnout, shutdown, and got in the way of her making her ability to manifest money. And now she supports female entrepreneurs who left their corporate careers and who feel anxious because they're not making enough money in their business. She helps them break through their money glass ceiling by identifying their way of doing business that naturally activates their money prosperity flow so they can help more people and make more money without the burnout. Anita, I'm delighted to have you here with me today, and I'm super excited to get to talk a little bit about what human design is, where it comes from, why it's so trendy right now, and then let's talk about returns.
Excellent. Great to talk to you, Jean. Delighted.
So tell me where human design originated and sort of how it got put together. I know it's got a lot of elements of astrology, and it's got elements of chakras and a bunch of other things. So tell us how it got here and why we're
interested. Absolutely. It was downloaded by a guy called Ra Uruhu, he calls himself. And basically, it is a connection between astrology and energy and everything that we know about our health and ourselves moving forward. It's basically a map of the planetary positions on the day that we're born. It gives you a unique frequency, a unique signature frequency, but it also is superb because it connects the dots between how we've learned to think, but how we're actually designed to think, how we're actually designed to operate as human beings. So to me, it's a superb profiling tool. I have researched a number of different profiling tools because I wanted to have a good way of helping people assess where they are in my coaching process. But this one doesn't involve the mind. So you know how we have different beliefs and we have different ideas about how things should be. Mm-hmm. Human design bypasses the mind. So it's not as manipulatable, that's a word, as, you know, the other mind ones. You know, you'll answer a mind profiling tool in a way that how you think, and that's not necessarily a truth or what's correct for you. So, and it's making a big splash because if you look at all the different gurus and teachers and spiritual growth and awakening on the planet, they all talk very generally about what you should do, how it could look when you're, you know, when you're in flow, when you're in your prosperity. Human design can pinpoint, this is what you do, this is how you do it. And when you align with that, you can become your own authority. And you can still look at the gurus. However, you can know where you stand in it. You can say, oh, that's very interesting information by guru number one, but it doesn't resonate with me. And stand into the confidence of your truth and what works for you. So it's gold. It's gold. It's one of my favorite things.
So it doesn't, from what I understand, it doesn't have the same, oh, I'm a Capricorn and you're a Sagittarius and you're a Pisces, that kind of quick categorization that we're used to from seeing our sun signs in the newspaper with our little horoscope for the morning. But it has a way more detailed look. And somebody, from what I understand, somebody could be born like 2 days apart and they'd be completely different. As we are.
Yeah, exactly.
So how does it get calculated? How does it, I know that from looking at my stuff, that I just plug a bunch of, I plug some numbers into the computer and it spits it back out. I imagine it's capable of being calculated by hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you wanted to go, there's a number of tools available if you want to Google on the internet. I use mybodygraph.com, www. You plug in your birth details and your birth time, and it gives you your chart then, where the energies are with respect to when you were born. And actually, I could probably show a picture of it, but
most of our people will be listening audio only, so we won't pictures of that.
Perfect. Exactly. So if you look at the chart, then it just shows you how you take in and interpret the energies in your world, you know? So we all experience all of the energies. It's just how we experience them differs. So your chart gives you a process of, or a picture of how you actually work in this world.
That's just amazing to me. And I don't have a good grasp on looking at a chart and saying, how do you know? Now, as you and I have talked, there are four major types of people, if I've got this right.
Five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are manifestors, manifestor generators, mm-hmm. projectors, and then now I'm blanking.
Reflectors.
And what's the fifth?
Generators.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about each of those five people and how they might relate to the world.
Oh, that's a great question. So I'll divide it into two different groups. The generator and the manifesting generator have defined sacral energy. So they have they're like our Duracell bunnies in this world. The manifesting generator would be a very charismatic, vibrant, big energy person. And the generator would be more the detail person behind the scenes. You know, the one who organizes things, the one who plans, who methodically goes through things. These two types have a lot of energy and they are designed to respond to their world. The projector, the manifester, and the reflector don't have that same level of energy. They're more guides. They're more, the reflector would be more the evaluator. If you have a reflector in your world, if they're happy, you can be guaranteed you're in a healthy work, living relationship, right? They are, if they're not happy, you need to look at what's going on because they're almost a mirror of us. Okay. They are a mirror of our health. The projectors, which you and I are we are guides and advisors. We connect with people in a different way, in a way that we can naturally guide them to their love and direction in their lives. We're very, very good at that. And we're not designed to do the 9 to 5. We're designed to have a less structured schedule, which is great if we know that. But I don't know about you. When I didn't know that, I was trying to schedule in a way that was more generator, manifesting generator. They're about 70% of our population. And I was burning out, wondering what was wrong with me, right? Whereas they were no problem. And then the manifester is a more of a pioneer. The manifester type is the type that goes into the world and checks out things before they come back and tell us to try it or not. These are the guys who say, oh, let's try this. Let's try something new. They're kind of the awakeners on the planet where they'll say, let's try this and we'll all be there. I'm not sure, but you've done it and you're not dead. So maybe we'll try it.
You've done it and you're not dead. What an interesting perspective on people.
Yeah, they're kind of the pioneers. They try new things and they have a special energy that allows them to ignore when people say, don't do that, it's not safe. They just go ahead and do it anyway.
So they have far less of the reaction, fight, flight, freeze reaction to the world than many of us do, where they can turn off that if you change, you'll die. Biology.
Not necessarily. I think we're all kind of wired when we're off track. We go into the fear. When we're not, we don't. It's more that they're more curious about trying new things. They're more adventurous.
Okay.
They don't even think it's not safe until it's not safe.
I'll have to have you check my grandson. He may be one of those.
He's
certainly adventurous.
So if they do feel the fear, it's just they are more curious and don't see the repercussions as quickly, maybe, or as conveniently as we might initially.
Cool. So it does come from the basic tenets of astrology, but it's much more detailed. And I think partly one of the things that most people don't know about astrology is that it's more than just your sun sign that makes you who you are. So this division of 12 signs is something that's probably I know it is. It's way oversimplified. And the planets and where the planets were have a lot to do with who we are and what happens to us. So I wanted to talk today in particular about something called planetary returns, because there are some major planetary returns that happen as we go through midlife. And I wanted to talk with somebody about that today. And someone is Anita. So talk a little bit about returns and what they are and why they're important and then we'll get into some of them that are happening as we go through midlife.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, the different planets kind of circumnavigate the Earth at different times and different rates. So with those planets, for midlife, you have the Chiron return, which is an overarching theme in our lives that is kind of like the wounded healer. But it happens only once in 50 years. So that creates a big cycle for us. The other one is there's a Uranus return, which is where for the first 40 years of our life, we kind of are learning and curious about what's going on. We're kind of living in the world of, I am, going to school, educating myself, getting a job, getting the house, getting the kids, getting married or not, or, and developing my career. But at the stage of between 38 and 40, what happens is the nodes, the energy flips. And it's every 40 years or so, because Uranus takes 84 years to circumnavigate the chart. So at that 40-year stage, you'll start feeling this existential crisis where you wonder, God, what I've been doing doesn't work for me anymore. It's not fitting my life. I don't even want to do it anymore. What was I thinking even? It's just a place where we naturally start questioning, do I want to keep doing this? And for a lot of people, when you don't know about this life cycle, you'll immediately think there's something really wrong. And this is the beauty of knowing human design and knowing the combination of hormones, understanding that life has a way of pushing you out of the nest and it's time to do something different. And if you're too stuck with what you're doing and it's blowing up in your face, it's very disturbing.
So the fun thing that I noticed as Anita and I were talking a couple of weeks ago is that this Uranus return, which it means that in terms of Uranus, that's Uranus is now exactly opposite where it was when you were born. At about 42, 43, we go through this change where everything that we were doing sort of turns on its head. And we started talking about how this relates to hormones and that the idea that at 43, and for those of us who work in menopause, we know that around 42, 43 is the time at which our reproductive system starts that shutdown, possibly even before we know it. And we start into perimenopause often in a non-detectable way, but it's turning ourselves upside down the same way that this Uranus return is influencing us from the universe. And so it's a really interesting perspective that we have to deal with both of these things sort of compounding. And I've always talked about it as being the time at which we're allowed to take ourselves as women out of the idea that our whole life is made for everyone else but ourselves. And then we get this opportunity to take ourselves and put ourselves into this to the middle of our own lives, which is really, really fascinating, because the fact that these two things happen one on top of the other is a pretty significant coincidence to my way of thinking. And if coincidences can be significant, or if that makes them not coincidences, for a little bit of thought around the words. So what I'm hearing and saying is that here we are with two influences, our own body and this return of a planet, or this planet hitting the opposite side of our chart at that point allows us to change what we're what we're thinking about and doing. Does that make sense, Anita?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's more than a coincidence. I think it's just we're learning it now. We're just learning. That's what happened. Yeah.
And so then let's talk about Chiron, because Chiron is something I heard about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, working with a mastermind partner who happened to be an astrologer, among other things. And I don't think a lot of people know about Chiron. And Chiron is a moon of Jupiter or Saturn.
Is a kind of a dwarf planet, call it. It's been recategorized. Pluto is also now a dwarf planet. So it is a dwarf planet that they only realized the influence of it, I guess, in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And in human design, we can pinpoint it down to, it really kind of influences us. It's like we're bringing in, if this isn't too far-fetched, we're bringing in kind of our own version of what needs to be learned in this world. And we're all healing different wounds. And our Chiron, you can imagine it moves very slowly every 50 years. So there's big bunches of people who were born at the same time who are coming to heal a particular process in this world, in humanity. For me, mine is about self-doubt. So you can imagine that's really important when I'm moving into a period of time where the whole world is going crazy, everything, you know, the rules have changed, the dreams have changed. So to be able to trust myself, of course, is a huge deal. And all those hundreds of thousands of people who are born at the same time, for you, it's the gate 41. It's about being able to create a dream from the limitation. So we don't have a reference point for it anymore, but we do know we have to shift from our tribal patterns and become individual in our own right and create in our own right communities, sharing, and what would you call it, more organic communities moving forward.
Which is fascinating. Since if you happen to listen to my podcast last week, I had Diana Inch on, and Diana and I were talking about adoption, and it's a trait that we share in common, Diana and I. And so it's interesting to see how tribe, which has always been very tenuous for me, I haven't had a lot of faith in tribe because my tribe has shifted over the years. I was ejected from the island, as it were, as an infant, and then trying to settle into this new tribe, in which took me in, and then going back now as an adult and finding, working around this old tribe and new tribe and whose tribe is it? And it's interesting to hear that as with the Chiron return, we start to take on, or I started to take on more of creating my own tribe, finding my own dream, my own vision for myself. And I think that's very true of many of us as women in midlife, is that we are dealing with this shift of who we used to be and who we are now. So this one happens a little later, around 50. And if you've hung around my podcasts long enough, you've heard that 51 is the average age of menopause for modern American women. So it is this, we start with this Uranus return in our early to mid 40s. And as we hit 50, 51, 52, we're seeing that whole shift once again that says maybe you weren't acting on it, but maybe now is the time that you start acting on it.
That's a really good point, because you'll find that those times astrologically or in your life are also times when the things that do need to change show up really clearly as not necessarily working. That's the biggest cue, you know, they stop working. And what I love about it is being able to connect the physical, very much physical feminine, with the astrological, because there's a point where we can stop making ourselves wrong. We can stop questioning it as something that needs to be healed. We can embrace it and go with it instead. And to me, that's so empowering. It's so empowering knowing that, and knowing that maybe it's time to question what we're holding in our lives and our behaviors, where everyone is first,
except you. Let me ask you a question here, because as you were speaking, I realized that my mother's generation, who would now be, my mother would be 103 had she, were she still alive. And much of her generation is still sort of believing that they needed to be the same person that they were in their 40s and on into their 50s. And this sort of comes back to maybe Hillary's cookie baking thing, and her sense that as a woman, she needed to project this image of being a grandmotherly, sweet type. And we see this in politics a lot, where even younger women, Amy Klobuchar comes to mind, where people expect her, I guess, to bring cookies to the office, and she doesn't. She's known as a hard boss in Washington. But I doubt she's much harder than many of the men who are bosses in Washington, having seen this play out in a number of different places. Is there something in our, in where we're going and coming through, you know, back to Age of Aquarius, that has shifted how older women are seeing themselves?
That's a really good question. Because in my world, my mother, who just died recently, she would have been 85, 86. They actually, in Ireland, paved the way for us in so many different fields. And there was no contraception in Ireland. So they, you know, 5-6 kids a family was normal. And what they did was, in the 90s, they sent all the kids out to vote. Over 50% of the population were under 25, right? They sent us out to vote for a woman president, because it wouldn't have ever happened otherwise. So I think women are changing only because we're wanting more.
Mm.
And for you, your mother at the 100, that would be another generation again. There's a point where it's only in Ireland in the 70s, 80s, where women were educated at college level. It's only, you know, we're not that far away from, as women, being anything other than the homemaker and all that. Was World War II?
I grew up in a household where my mother worked from the mid-60s onward, but I was very unusual. Mm-hmm. And it was not normal. The majority of mothers in the neighborhood were stay-at-home moms. I had any number of houses I could go to with a problem. I would say that as a child of a 50s household, now, the fact is my parents were older because of the adoption. They were a little bit older. So they raised me with a 50s sort of mindset. And I would say that even as a child of the 60s, there was a certain expectation of going to college for your MRS, if you remember that old saying of women go to college to get their Mrs. degree. So they were there to find a guy, and often left because they were pregnant, and their job in college was not to learn, but to be attractive to a mate. And so it's not, I mean, Ireland might be a little bit behind, but we're talking the 50s and 60s in the United States. Not until the late 60s and the early 70s did that start changing. Just a reminder that this year is the 50th year that American women could get a credit card on their own without a male cosigner.
Yeah, right. So
that's that's a lot younger than me.
Yeah. It's like we're emerging, actually. I think we're growing out of being the servant into individuals in our own right.
Yeah.
And finding our ground in that, you know, for sure. Because I know when mom, in Ireland at the time in the 60s for me, when you had children, you had to give up your job because they didn't want to pay maternity leave. They didn't want to pay. Whereas now in Ireland, you can get like a year paid maternity leave, and you can get paternity leave, and there's all this other emergence of human rights, I guess, that, you know, it's fantastic in one way, but in another way it just shows us how much as women we've been carrying the emotional load of the planet.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, my mother was a secretary on an Air Force base in World War II. That's where she met my father. And when they got married, she had to quit her job. She could not work as a... Now, had she been a wife of an enlisted man, possibly, but she was a wife of an officer, and wives of officers did not work, especially on base. So it's fascinating to see less than a century, 80 years.
And it's a long time.
How much has really changed. Anita, I want to thank you for this incredible conversation. It's just been delightful talking about this. And if somebody wanted to work with you around understanding their human design and about breaking through their money glass ceilings around using this tool, how can someone get in touch with you?
Oh, thank you. It is fascinating. They can go onto my website at anitakeen.com, Anita with two N's, and sign up for a free 15-minute consult where I literally talk to them about their number one money stopper in their life, potentially. And they can come to me that way, and we can take it from there.
Anita, thanks so much for coming on the show today and explaining some of the things that we might want to know about this incredibly fascinating topic. And please feel free to go out. Anita's website is in the show notes, and go out and take a look. Go out and maybe hit one of these sites where you can have your human design calculated for you and take a look at what it means. It's fascinating how much different this is to just the simple, here's what a Capricorn is. Yes, I am a Capricorn. I hate to say, that's why I keep coming back with Capricorns. But really getting into touch with what that means in a broader sense. Anita, thanks so much for being here, and I look forward to discussing this more with you.
Thanks so much, Jane, and Jean. Thanks so much, Jean, and I'm delighted to be able to join the dots between who we are and how we are in this world, especially as women, because it's our it's time. It's our time.
Thanks for listening, and this has been Menopause Matters. Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please submit a rating and review and share it with a friend. Menopause has many annoying symptoms, but not many are worse than the lack of sleep. If you are one of the 90% of women who suffer from menopausal insomnia and/or fatigue, I'd love to offer you my free download, 5 Tips to Get Better Sleep Tonight. You can get it at menopausematterspodcast.com/sleep. And let me know which of these tips works best for you.